This week's parsha is Parshas Balak, and we'll start in chapter 24, verse number 14. The basic idea of the parsha is that Balak hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people. Hashem tells Bilam he shouldn't go, but Bilam insists on going. Then Hashem says, you could go, but whatever, I will tell you, that is what you're going to say. For three times, Balak brings Bilam to different places for him to try to curse the Jewish people. And all three times it backfires because we receive a blessing instead of a curse. And then Balak gets upset at Bilam for giving us blessings. And on chapter 24, verse number 11, Balak tells Bilam, Va'ato and now, brach lecho el mekomecho, run away to your place. Omarti, I said, kabet achabetcho, that I will honor you. V'ine moach Hashem mekovet. Hashem withheld you from honor, meaning Hashem didn't let you receive honor. And Bilam says that it's not my fault, I told you that I'm going to say only what Hashem lets me. But we are going now to chapter 24, verse number 14, and this is going to be the focus of our shir. Bilam tells Balak before he leaves, Va'ato, and now, hineni oilech la'ami, I am going to my nation. Lecho iyotzcho, let me give you advice. Asher yaseh ha'mazeh, what this nation is going to do, la'amcho, to your nation, ba'achriz ha'yomim, in the end of days. If you look at the verse, we do not see any advice that Bilam gave to Balak. Therefore, Rashi explains that this statement is actually two separate statements, that lecho yotzcho, let me give you advice what to do, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kovav Medalev 106a writes down that what the advice was is Bilam advised Balak that Hashem hates immorality. So Bilam advised Balak that in order to destroy the Jewish people, he should try to use the Moabite girls to seduce the Jewish men, thereby causing them to sin. And the Gemara explains that they had tents set up with linen clothing for sale, and they had an old woman sitting outside selling those clothing. And since the Jewish people didn't buy any new clothing throughout the desert, because their clothing grew with them, therefore they were enticed to buy this new clothing of linen. And then they would ask the price of the older woman. She would give a price, but inside the tent there was a younger naked woman, and she gave a cheaper price, a bargain price. Then the Jewish man went to negotiate with the woman inside. This young woman gave him to drink wine. And after he was a little tipsy, then this woman undressed, and then she told him to have relations with her. Then the Jewish man would want to have relations, but before they had relations, she would take out the idol of Peor, and she would tell the Jewish man to worship the idol. The Jewish man would say, how can I worship the idol when Hashem said we're not allowed to worship any idols? Then she would say, I'm not asking you to bow down to it, I'm asking you to defecate in front of it. And the Jewish man did not know that defecation was the way to serve the idol of Peor, and the Jewish man did it. Thereby the Jewish man committed immorality and idolatry, and therefore the Pasuk writes down in chapter 25, verse number 5, where Moshe Rabbeinu told Hirgu Ish Anoshov that each person should kill his man. Rashi writes down that every judge of the Jewish people killed two men, because Anoshov is plural, and there were 88,000 judges. That means at this juncture, 176,000 Jews died. So Bilam gave advice how to destroy the Jewish people, and it caused almost a third of the Jewish men to be killed at that point. And Rashi continues and says, how do I know that Bilam is the one who gave the advice? Because later on, in chapter 31, verse number 16, when the Jewish people went to war against Midian and they left the women alive, Moshe Rabbeinu gets upset at them for leaving the women alive. And there the verse says, Heinenu hayu livnei Yisrael bidvar Bilam, that they were the women that caused the Jewish people to sin through the words of Bilam. Therefore we see that Bilam gave this advice to Balak. And yet we don't have any other recorded conversation between Bilam and Balak. Therefore, Rashi says, when it says here, Lecha Yatzcha, let me give you advice, it is referring to this advice that we just mentioned. Then Rashi continues in the verse and says that what is written later on, Asheyase o Mazeh Le'amcha, Bachriz Hayomim, what this nation is going to do to your nations in the end of days, this is a separate idea, not connected to the beginning of the verse that says, Lecha Yatzcha, let me give you advice. And the idea is that Bilam is prophesizing that in the end of days, the Jewish people are going to destroy parts of Moab, as it's written in Machas Peis Moab in Pasuk number 17, that he'll smite the corners of Moab, which means that he's predicting that in the end of days, which Rashi explains that this is in the time of David HaMelech, where David HaMelech is in fact going to attack Moab. Because they explain that the only reason that Hashem didn't want us to attack Ammon and Moab is because Hashem was destined to take out from them two birds, two women, which are Ruth Amavia and Noam Amoinis. Ruth is going to marry Boaz, and she's going to be the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. And Noam is going to marry Shlomo HaMelech, which from there the seed of Mashiach is going to continue. Therefore, Hashem didn't want us to harm any of the people of Ammon and Moab, but after they were taken out, meaning after they came to join the Jewish people, then Hashem told David HaMelech that since Moab acted and decided to attack the Jewish people, then the Jewish people have the right to self-defense and attack Moab, and in fact, David HaMelech attacked Moab. First, we'll start asking the question of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer asks, why now, only after Balak tells Bilam to go home, leave, does Bilam decide to give Balak advice how to destroy the Jewish people? Clearly he knew that Balak hired him to destroy the Jewish people, and if he had this advice that Hashem hates immorality and he could get to the Jewish people by causing them to do immorality, why wait until now? Why not give this advice originally when Balak hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people and to help destroy the Jewish people? What caused them to do this now? One answer the Chasam Sofer brings, it's a Lomdish answer. It's based on the machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel throughout Shas to how many times is considered a chazaka, a presumption that things are going to continue to be the same. For example, we have a law that if an ox gores another ox, then the owner is required to pay a half a damage. But if it is an axe that habitually gores and it gores now another axe, then the owner of the axe that habitually gores is required to pay full damage. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Reb Shimon Gamliel, what is considered a presumption that the axe is a gorer. According to Rabbi, if an axe gores two times, then we assume that the third time is already a gorer, because two times causes something to become a chazaka, and therefore, on the third gore, he is required to pay full damage. And according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, only after three times, then it is considered habitual gorer, and only by the fourth time he pays full damage. Another sample of the disagreement is in regards to a woman whose husbands have died. According to Rabbi, after this woman lost two husbands, she is not allowed to remarry, because we assume that she will also cause the third husband to die. And according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, she could still remarry after two husbands, because two does not make any assumption. Only after the third husband has died, then she is not allowed to marry the fourth husband, because at that point we assume that she'll cause the fourth husband to die. According to this, the Chasam Sofer explains that Bilam held like Rabbi that two times makes an assumption, but he could see clearly that Balak held like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel that only after three times it is considered an assumption. And he explains the following. Bilam knew of the two great sins that the Jewish people did. The Jewish people did the golden calf, and the Jewish people did the sin of the spies. And yet Hashem did not destroy the Jewish people. Therefore, Bilam assumed that after two times it's a chazaka, that he won't be able to cause that the Jewish people should be destroyed. It doesn't pay for him to cause the Jewish people to sin, because Hashem is not going to destroy the Jewish people anyways. But when Bilam saw that Balak tried three times to curse the Jewish people, meaning that Balak, when he wanted to curse the Jewish people, took Bilam to one place, and there he brought offerings, and then he took him to a second place, and he brought offerings. And after Bilam wasn't successful the third time, then Balak tells Bilam to go home because you are useless. That means that Balak held that it requires three times to make a chazaka, to make a presumption, because Balak did not give up after two times of Bilam's trying to curse. It had to be three times. Therefore, Bilam was telling Balak that I will give you advice. According to you, that you hold that three times a chazaka, then maybe you still could cause the Jewish people to be harmed by me giving you the advice to cause the Jewish people to sin. I hold that two times a chazaka, therefore I didn't give you this advice, because after two times, then we assume that Hashem doesn't let the Jewish people be harmed, no matter what they do wrong. But you that hold that after three times is a chazaka, then I'll still give you the advice that you should try to cause the Jewish people to sin, and then maybe Hashem is going to get mad at the Jewish people and cause the Jewish people harm. Therefore, Bilam waited until now to give this advice to Balak. Then the Chasam Sofer brings another answer, and the answer is based on the Rashi, which Rashi writes down in the words of Bilam, where Bilam says, "Hinei oylech le'ami," that I'm going to my nation. Rashi says, "Me'ato, from now, areni keshar ami, I'm like any other person from my nation, shenishtalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'olai, Hashem took away his prophecy from me." And the Chasam Sofer brings the Ramban, that the Ramban explains that Bilam niskak Ruach HaKodesh, he had divine prophecy, but when he got close to Balak, then the Ruach HaKodesh left him, and he became just a magician as he was before. Therefore, Bilam screamed, "Ram Ha'isi, I was very lofty, V'oridei Balak, and Balak put me down." And the Chasam Sofer explains that when Balak told Bilam, "Brach lecho al mekamecho," run away to your place, Bilam was telling him to run back to his place where he should lose the prophecy. That before he was just a sorcerer and a magician, and then he got the prophecy. But now, go back to your place. So from the curse of Balak, Bilam got back to his place. And we know, according to the Gemara, in Brachas Dav Zayin Amed Alev 7a and in Sanhedrin Dav Kof Hei Amed Beis 105b, where the Gemara there says that Bilam really did not have prophecy. Bilam had something special, as the Gemara says that the verse in Bamidbar chapter 24, verse number 16, Bilam says on himself, "Veyodeya das Elyon," that Bilam knows the knowledge of Hashem. The Gemara asks, how can we say that Bilam knows the knowledge of Hashem if he doesn't even know what his donkey was thinking, because he didn't know why the donkey moved away three times? And the Gemara answers that Bilam knows to time exactly when Hashem gets angry, because one moment in the day Hashem gets angry for a second, and at that time, if somebody curses, then the curse takes effect. And Bilam knew how to time exactly that time. And the Gemara continues and says that in Micha chapter 6, verse number 5, is described how Hashem did great kindness for us, that He did not get angry during the days that Bilam tried to curse the Jewish people, because had he gotten angry, then the curse of Bilam would have taken effect. But now that Balak took away the power of Bilam, now Bilam doesn't have the power to time anymore the curse to cause harm to the Jewish people. According to this, the Chasam Sofer explains that this is what Bilam is trying to say. Had you not cursed me, had I not gone back to my place, meaning, had I still had the prophecy, then even though I wasn't able to curse the Jewish people because Hashem did not get angry, we could have waited a little while, and eventually Hashem will get angry, and then we could have cursed the Jewish people and caused the Jewish people's downfall. But now that you took away my power from me, now I could never curse the Jewish people because I can't time exactly when Hashem gets angry to curse them. Now there is no choice. The only way that you could harm the Jewish people now is by causing the Jewish people to sin, and through their sin, then you'll cause them harm, because Hashem hates immorality. Therefore, according to this opinion of the Chassam Sofer, this is directly related to what Balak told Bilam. Balak told Bilam, Brach lechol mekomecha, run away to your place, and according to the Ramban, that means that you should go back to your place that you were before, that you were just a sorcerer and a magician, and not a prophet. You didn't have the power to know when to curse Hashem. But now that Balak gave this curse, Bilam lost this ability too. Therefore, Bilam says that I am going back to my place, as Rashi says, that I am just like another man, because now I lost the ability to know when Hashem gets angry. But therefore, specifically now, where you can't harm the Jewish people through the curse anymore, because you can't time exactly when Hashem gets angry to curse the Jewish people, now Bilam gives the advice to Balak to cause the Jewish people to sin, and by causing the Jewish people to sin, then he'll be able to get Hashem angry at the Jewish people, and then harm will come to the Jewish people, as in fact happened. Then the Chassam Sofer brings a very simple answer, and the Chassam Sofer says that since Bilam realized that while Bilam is there, Hashem does not get angry at the Jewish people, then Bilam realized that even if the Jewish people will commit a terrible sin, still Hashem would not get angry at the Jewish people. Therefore he told Balak, Hineni oylech l'ami, I am going home to my nation. Once I go home to my nation, then Hashem is going to let his guard down, and Hashem won't worry anymore of me cursing the Jewish people, but yet I still want the Jewish people to be harmed. Therefore, I'll give you an advice how to harm the Jewish people, that you could cause the Jewish people to sin, like that Hashem will get angry at the Jewish people, because now his guard is not up anymore, since I'm not here anymore. Since I went home to my nation, then Hashem thinks he has nothing to worry about, then you could actually cause the Jewish people to sin, and harm will come to the Jewish people. Then the Chassam Sofer brings a final answer, that the reason why Bilam just gave this advice now is because Bilam realized that he was able to insert a certain bracha during the last time that they tried to curse the Jewish people. In chapter number 24, verse number 6, he gives a blessing to the Jewish people, Kenecholim Nitoyu, like streams they spread out, Keganois Aleinor, like gardens by a river, Keholim, not Hashem, like the aloes which Hashem planted, Kearozim Aleimaim, like cedars by water. And the Chassam Sofer brings what is written in the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Chav Omed Aleph 28, also in Sanhedrin 105b, where there the Gemara says, Omar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmani Omar Rab Yonison. Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, Never Rab Yonison. My Dichsif, what is the meaning of the verse that is written in Mishle chapter 27, verse number 6, where it says, Nemonim Pitzei Oyev, the wounds inflicted by a friend are trustworthy, Venatoris Neshikois Soyna, and yet the kisses of your enemy are the reverse. The Gemara there explains that the curses that Ahiya Shiloini gave on Yeravam about the Jewish people were bigger blessings than the blessings that Bilam HaRasha gave on the Jewish people. And the Gemara explains that Ahiya Shiloini, when he cursed the Jewish people in Malachim 1, chapter 14, verse number 15, he says, V'iko Hashem es Yisrael, that Hashem should smite the Jewish people, kasha yonut hakone b'mayim, as the reed sways in water. So he uses the metaphor of reed in water. The place of reeds is in the water. And reeds have a very vast root system that even all the winds come and blow on the reed does not move from its place. It stays in its place because it's able through the root system to stay fast. And true that the winds cause the reed to sway back and forth, but once the wind subsides, then the reed is able to stand upright. And also, if you cut down the reed is able to regenerate itself. So the curse that Achia Shoini gave us is that the Jewish people should be signified as reeds on water. But Bilam HaRasha, he wanted to curse the Jewish people, so he blessed them that they should be like cedars on water. Normally, cedar trees do not grow when there is a lot of water, because the waters decay the roots, and the roots of the cedars are not that vast. So true that winds come and the cedar cannot move from its place, but once it comes a very strong wind, the wind from the south, then the cedar topples on its face and it breaks down and doesn't regenerate itself. So the Gemara explains that it is greater the curse that your friend gave, that Achia Shiloni cursed us, that we should be like reeds, better than the blessings that your enemy gave. Because Bilam blessed us that we should be like cedars and water, which means in a deep way that he wanted us to topple and not regenerate ourselves. And the Chasam Sofer tries to explain what is this idea that the winds come and blow and we sway, and the winds come to the cedar and topples it. What is this idea? What's got to do, really, if anything? What is the deeper meaning with this idea? So the Chasam Sofer explains that really, when Bilam was looking at the Jewish people and giving blessings on the Jewish people, Bilam was measuring the holiness of the Jewish people. Originally, Bilam did not want to give advice that the Jewish people should commit immorality, because Bilam thought that what is going to help this advice, since obviously the Jewish people are not going to take his advice, they're not going to fall for it, because true that the Moabites women could like immorality, but since Hashem hates immorality, obviously the Jewish people also hate immorality. Therefore, Bilam didn't bother giving this advice. But by the third prophecy, Bilam saw the greatness of the Jewish people, how holy they are, so much that he says, Matoivu Alecha Yaakov, how great are your tents, Jacob. And automatically, since they are holier, then the Yetzer Hara is greater. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph 52a explains that the Yetzer Hara has a mission to try to cause the Jewish people and the Torah scholars to stumble more than anybody else, meaning that the evil inclination a lot of times does not bother with regular people, and it goes and tries to attack specifically the righteous people and specifically the Jewish people, because by them stumbling, that is a greater sin against Hashem, and the evil inclination's mission is to cause the greater sin to happen. Then Bilam HaRasha realized that the Jewish people, because they are so holy, they are going to have a huge test against the evil inclination. Therefore, at this juncture, Bilam decided to entice them with immorality and idolatry to see if they are going to pass the test. And he was hoping that they are not going to pass the test, as in fact it happened. And the Chasam Sofer explains that this is the idea why Bilam specifically inserted the words in the middle of the blessing that the Jewish people should be like cedars on water. Because as the Gemara explains, cedars on water could withstand normal winds, meaning that tzaddikim, which are like cedars, could withstand the winds of the Yetzer Hara, because the Yetzer Hara could try to sway them a little bit, try to blow the wind, see what is going to happen, but on that they will not fall. But once a big wind comes, meaning that the evil inclination is really going to stand up against them in a big way, then their cedar is toppled. Therefore, he thought that the Jewish people are going to be toppled. But if you compare the Jewish people as reeds, true that the Jewish people are going to be swaying back and forth like the wind, meaning that the evil inclination is going to be able to entice a little bit the Jewish people to go either way, but once the evil inclination subsides, they are able to stand up in its place and stay upright, and they are able to regenerate itself. But once the cedar falls, you can't regenerate itself. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer says specifically, after Bilam was able to insert in the words of the bracha that Hashem made them say that the Jewish people should be like cedars on water, then Bilam came up with the idea that we should entice the Jewish people to commit immorality and idolatry, and like that, the evil inclination is going to be so strong that it's going to topple them. And as a matter of fact, as we mentioned, according to Rashi, 176,000 people died because of this idea of Bilam. So we see that Bilam was somewhat successful in his idea. So according to the Chasam Sofer, the reason why Bilam didn't give this advice before is because he could not measure the holiness of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people weren't holy, then the evil inclination does not affect them so much. And therefore the Jewish people definitely are going to be able to withstand the evil inclination. But once he saw the holiness of the Jewish people, now he realizes that if it comes a very strong wind, which means a very strong inclination, a very strong test, then the Jewish people may topple. And therefore he decides that now he's going to give the advice to Balak to try to entice the Jewish people and try to cause them to be harmed. To continue with the verse, all the Meforshim are bothered by Rashi's explanation that Rashi says that these are two separate statements. Because if they are two separate statements, they seem to be contradictory and they seem to be two statements that have nothing to do with one another. Because the first statement of the verse is Lechoi Yatzcho, let me give you advice of how to destroy the Jewish people by causing the Jewish people to commit immorality. And the second statement is that I'm going to tell you what the Jewish people are going to do to your nation in the end of days. They seem to be totally disconnected one from another. And the Satmar Rebbe in Divrei Yoel asks that if they are really two statements not connected, then he should at least have a vav that I'm going to give you advice and this is what's going to happen to you in the end of days. But if you read it normally, it seems to be like one statement, or at least both statements must have a little connection one to another. The Divrei Yoel first brings a simple answer that Bilam was afraid that since the nations of the world were also curbed in morality, then Bilam was afraid that Balak won't take his advice to go cause the Jewish people harm, because Balak was in a higher level of Kedusha than Bilam, and he wasn't going to let his daughter steep to such a low level. Therefore, in order to up the ante and try to convince Balak to join the idea of enticing the Jewish people and cause the Jewish people's downfall, therefore Bilam decided to prophesy what is going to happen to Balak in the end of days, that in the end of days the Jewish people are going to defeat and going to smite Moab. Therefore Moab now is going to be afraid of the Jewish people and is going to do anything in his power to cause the Jewish people's defeat, the Jewish people's demise. Therefore Bilam wants to give the advice that Balak should cause the Jewish people's death, because Bilam hated the Jewish people so much, but he was afraid that Balak won't take part in the plot to cause his daughters to become immoral and to cause the Jewish people to become sinners, because even the nations of the world did not do immorality. But by Bilam adding that in the end of days the Jewish people are going to hurt Moab, then it causes Moab to take retribution now, and therefore by that statement that caused Balak to join in Bilam's idea to cause the Jewish people's death before they have a chance to destroy Moab in the future. So according to this, the statements are really interconnected, meaning that I will give you advice that you should cause the Jewish people to commit immorality, and you're going to ask me why should I get involved in that way. The answer is, look what is going to happen to you in the end of days. And that reason should be enough for you to get involved. Then the Divrei Yoel gives another interpretation, and his interpretation is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik, Amud Aleph, 90a, where the Gemara there explains that normally when Hashem punishes somebody, Hashem punishes them always midah keneged midah, measure for measure. Meaning normally if you kill somebody, then Hashem causes you to be killed. And theoretically if you cause somebody to sin, Hashem should make you sin, But then it becomes a dilemma, specifically when evil people cause you to sin, and because of that you die, then it becomes a double problem. Because if Hashem would just kill the person who caused you to die, that is not measure for measure. Because since he caused you to sin, and the Medrash Tanchumim Pinchas Gimel writes down, Kol Amachti es Adam, Kosher Yoiser min Argoy, that if you cause a person to sin, that is worse than you would kill that person, then clearly, if Hashem would only kill the person that caused you to sin and die, that wouldn't be measure for measure. The proper measure for measure would be that Hashem should cause the person who caused you to sin and die to also sin and die. But then it creates a terrible dilemma, because since the person is evil, and by him sinning more, then he would bring more evilness into the world. He's definitely not repenting on that evilness, then he's bringing more evilness into the world. And that is at the service for the person who sinned and died, because more evilness does not make the thing right. Therefore, says the Divrei Yoel, the only remedy left for Hashem to make a midah keneged midah is if Hashem punishes the person ba'achriz hayomim, in the end of days. By punishing the person la'asid lavoi in the future, when Moshiach is going to come, where the whole world is going to recognize the holiness of Hashem, and then this person is going to be contaminated, that will cause this evil person to suffer. And that point is where the punishment could really be given. Because before that point, all Hashem is doing is increasing evilness in the world, and the evil person really enjoys that, so that is really not a punishment for him. So comes out that the only way to punish an evil person for causing you to sin has to be in Achriz Hayomim, in the end of days. According to this, the Divrei Yoel explains that this is what Bilam HaRasha is telling Balak. Balak, you don't have to worry that Hashem is going to retaliate right away against you by killing you, because since you are going now to cause the Jewish people to sin, and they are going to die because of that, just killing you won't solve the problem, because the punishment won't be measure for measure, because you killed them and caused them to sin. The only way that Hashem could make it measure for measure is to punish you ba'achriz hayomim, in the end of days. Which means that Hashem is not going to punish you now, Hashem is going to wait till the end of days. Then if Hashem is going to wait till the end of days, then you have nothing to worry about causing the Jewish people to sin now, because the retribution is going to only to come in the end of days. I will now give an esoteric answer from the Panim Yafes, and the same idea is actually brought down by Sefer Oznaim LaTorah, but not in such esoteric way. First, the Panim Yafes explains what we mentioned earlier from the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Chesem at Beis 38b, where there the Gemara says that the only reason the Hashem told us that we should not start up with Ammon and Moab is because Hashem needs to remove two doves from them, which are Ruth Amoavia, which is going to marry Boaz, and Naama Moinis, which is going to marry Shlomo Melech, which they are going to be the progenitors of the Moshiach. Therefore, Hashem didn't want us to destroy the tribes of Ammon and Moab, because we require to take some holy sparks out of them. And he brings the Gemara in Psachim Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis 87b, where the Gemara there says that Loigalu Israel, that the Jewish people only went to exile Elu Loisiv Aleihem Gerim, that in order they should have more converts come to them, meaning that since the converts are the holy sparks that are amongst the nations of the world, and Hashem wants those sparks to come together to Jewish people, therefore Hashem exiles us to those places in order for us to be able to collect those sparks. And then he brings the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph 32a, where the Gemara there is wondering why the Jewish people were exiled in Egypt for 210 years. Why was Avraham Avinu punished that Hashem told them in the covenant between the parts in Bereshit chapter 15 that the Jewish people are going to be enslaved for that long? So the Gemara answers in the name of Shmuel, because Avraham Avinu doubted the words of Hashem, meaning that Hashem told Avraham Avinu that this land is going to be yours. Avraham Avinu asked Hashem in chapter 15, verse number 8, Bamo Eida ki Yerushano, how do I know that I will inherit this land? Because he doubted Hashem, he sinned. Sparks because of this doubt went out to Egypt, and we had to collect those sparks in order to come back to Eretz Israel. Meaning that only because Avraham Avinu's sin and his sin on his level was so great that it caused sparks to go to Egypt, and since we needed to collect those sparks, we needed to be exiled in Egypt for a long time in order to collect those sparks. Comes out that every time a person does a sin, sparks of him is left over in that place, because since a Jewish person is holy and he contaminates his soul by the sin, then the equivalent holiness that was supposed to be there falls over in the other lands, and therefore it's required that the Jewish people should go there and collect those sparks. As a matter of fact, the Panim Yafis brings the pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 50, verse number 1, where there it says, "Hein bavoinoi seichem nim kartem," that behold, because of your sins you have been sold, meaning you have gone to exile. And he explains that since because you sinned, then your sparks go into other places, therefore you're required to go to exile in order to collect those sparks. So because of your sins, therefore you go to exile. It comes out that if you would have a bigger sin, then you're required to have more sparks to collect. That means that you're required to have more time to collect those sparks. Avraham Avinu, just by saying the words, Bamo Eida, how do I know that I'm going to inherit, cause his children to be there for 210 years in order to collect the sparks that came out because of the sin, then for sure if the Jewish people actually commit immorality with the nation of Moab and commit idolatry, then the holy sparks that they would leave there would take a long time to collect. So therefore, according to this, Sefer Panim Yafes explains that this is what Bilam Arasha was telling Balak. Bilam Arasha was telling Balak that I have an easy way to cause the Jewish people to not be able to live in a short time. Since I know that in the end of days the Jewish people are going to hurt Moab, then I have an easy way to cause the Jewish people not to do this for a long time. Meaning that if Balak will cause the Jewish people to sin with the daughters of Moab, automatically holy sparks will fall amongst Moab. Automatically then it will happen that it's going to be at Achriz HaYomim, that the Jewish people are going to be there until the end of days, because it's going to take so long that the days are going to be Achriz, it's going to be delay of days. So the advice that Bilam gave to Balak to cause the Jewish people to sin, and thereby causing them Achriz HaYomim, that they will take a long time to take out the sparks till the end of days. As I mentioned, Sefer Ozlam LaTorah gives almost the same idea as Sefer Panim Yafes, and he explains in a simple way that Bilam wanted to destroy the Jewish people, and he wanted to have Balak join him in causing the Jewish people to commit immorality, but he was afraid that Balak won't cooperate because the nations of the world were curbed in immorality, and specifically, it's not normal for a father to give up his own daughter for immorality. Therefore, Bilam devised a plan to cause Balak to join him in this idea of immorality. And the plan was that Bilam is going to tell Balak what is going to happen ba'achris hayomim, in the time of Mashiach, that in the time of Mashiach, then the Jewish people are going to conquer the land of Keni, Knizi, and Kanmoini, which are the lands of Moab, Ammon, and Edom. At that point, Moab is going to cease to exist. And Bilam was trying to tell Balak that you only have one way to cause this to be delayed. There is only one way you could cause that Mashiach should come later than earlier. And which way is that? It's a simple way. If you cause the Jewish people to sin, then the Jewish people don't have any merit to have Mashiach come, and then Mashiach will come later, ba'achriz hayamim, then you'll be able to survive for a longer time. Therefore, Bilam tells Balak, come, let's join immorality. And you know why you should do that? Because I'm telling you what's going to happen b'Achris Hayomim. In Achris Hayomim, Moav is going to cease to exist. And there is only one way that you could delay this Achris Hayomim is by causing the Jewish people to sin. So according to the Oznam Latoyre, both ideas are connected, because the only reason why Balak joined Bilam in this plot to cause the Jewish people to sin is because Bilam told him what is going to happen at the end of days when Moshiach comes, that Moav is going to be destroyed. Now Hashem Yisburach should help that we should ratify and take away all the sparks from all the lands that we are there, and then we should do mitzvahs and masim tovim and good deeds. Like that we'll merit to have the Achris Hayomim Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'imheira b'yomeinu, Amen.